reading to you from 1 John, and with the 5th chapter, and with the 13th verse. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, in order that you may know that you have eternal life. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic. And I gave my heart to Christ over 51 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. You know, there are very few people today who are saved in the church. Most of them are saved other places. I've led, I don't know how many people to Christ in their homes. And people get saved on a radio broadcast. People get saved watching a TV program. But I'll tell you one thing, I always give an invitation. You'll notice me, after all these 39 years on broadcasting, I always give an invitation, because I don't know who's listening. Well, I'll be with you for a half an hour. I wish you'd just kick off your slippers and just sit back and relax and grab you a cup of coffee or a glass of iced tea. Well, it's winter now. Maybe you better drink coffee or hot tea. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Friends, if you have your Bibles, will you turn with me to the 6th chapter of the book of Daniel. Now, I'm telling you, if you want to read Daniel, if you want to get excited about what's going on back in those days and what's going on today, read the 6th chapter of the book of Daniel. Let's begin reading with the first verse. It seemed good to Darius to appoint 120 satraps over the kingdom, that they should be in charge of the whole kingdom, and over them 3 commissioners, of whom Daniel was one, that these satraps might be accountable to them, and that the king might not suffer loss. Then this Daniel began distinguishing himself among the commissioners and satraps, because he possessed an extraordinary spirit, and the king planned to appoint him over the entire kingdom. Then the commissioners and satraps begin trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they could not find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, insomuch as he was faithful, and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him. Then these men said, "We shall not find any ground of accusation against this Daniel unless we fight it against him with regard to the law of his God." Then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows, "King Darius, live forever. All the commissioners of the kingdom and the perfect and the satraps, the high officials, and the governors have consulted together that the king should establish a statute and enforce an injunction that anyone who makes a petition to any god or man beside you, O king, for 30 days, shall be cast into the lion's den. Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be changed according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which may not be revoked. Therefore, King Darius, sign the document that is the injunction." Well, dear friends, listen. When faith, let's put it this way, faith when others are against you. Oh, listen, just because you're born again, just because you're blood bought, I don't mean that you're not going to suffer persecutions. You're not going to have people say things about you. And they will lie about you. Oh, my stars in the morning, you'll get lied about. I have been lied about. But you know what? I stayed by the guns and stuck with Jesus, and he worked it all out. He worked it out. I didn't. Now, here's a young captive now to the president, Daniel and friends, captive of Nebuchadnezzar in Babylon. Now, choosing to reject the king's food and wine, it said in verse 8, "Now, O king, establish the injunction and sign the document so that it may not be charged according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which may not be revoked." Well, Darius, the Medes, appointed David to be the top president in verse 6. And it said, "Then these commissioners and satraps came by agreement to the king and spoke to him as follows, 'King Darius, live forever.'" Well, now here he is. Why is he so good? Well, because Daniel was interpreting Nebuchadnezzar's dream. Oh, my stars. And Daniel's prediction of Belshazzar's death. Hey, listen, you talk about a party. They were having one big party. In fact, what really, really upset the Lord was they took the cups from the temple that were dedicated, and they were drinking wine out of them, and they were getting drunk out of their mind. You people who say it don't hurt to drink, you just better read the Bible. Oh, my stars in the morning. You know, he said, well, a little wine for the stomach's ache. Back in those days, they had water problem. And he said a little wine, little juice didn't hurt him. But these people were drunk, absolutely flat-out drunk. Now, Darius and the Medes appoints Daniel to be the top president. Why? Because he interpreted Belshazzar's dream and his death. Kings and kingdoms fall, but God's servant continue. Darius saw that Daniel was different. Hey, friends, I wonder, does people see and say, well, now that guy's different because he's a Christian. I told you many years ago aboard my ship up in Aleutian Islands, Dutch Harbor, Alaska, during World War II, we were repairing submarines. We had two guys aboard my ship, big tall guys. Of course, I'm short, so anything but by 7 is a big tall guy. And they carried their Bibles, and they witnessed to us, and they went to church, and those men stood out. They were absolutely different than our men aboard this ship. We used to say nasty things about them. We called them names, sky pilots, and a lot worse things than that. But you know what? They just smile and say, well, you know, Jesus loves you, see. So, that used to irk me that these men, they stood out. Well, so did Daniel. He stood out. Now, the king sensed an excellent spirit in Daniel. Well, when you see someone that's living their life for the Lord, you bet you can sense an excellent spirit in that person. You know what the saddest thing in the world is? Christians with a long face. That's right. They are the sickest. You know, I told you when I was in high school, just before I got a job milking 9 cows night and morning, put myself through high school, I moved in with a Christian family. My dad paid for my board and room. And so I remember they put me in a little bleak room with a not a very big window. But I remember this. I will never forget this. The old man, they looked like he'd been baptized in pickle juice. I'm telling you, they were the sourest people I ever saw. And then he'd get up the table and say, "Lord, thank you for this great food that you're giving us. Amen." And I said, this is not what I believe Christians should be. But I wasn't a Christian either. I was as lost a goose in the grass. But these people, I suppose, were just as lost. No, Christian friend, a smile on your face will say many, many things to lost people who are watching. Now, the plot begins to thicken. People of faith are not always popular. You know that to be a fact. In 4 it says, "Then the commissioners and satraps began trying to find a ground of accusation against Daniel in regard to government affairs, but they could find no ground of accusation or evidence of corruption, insomuch as he was faithful, and no negligence or corruption was to be found in him." I wish some of our Republicans and Democrats and Independents would read that. Friends, I have been to a banquet, a big banquet in Washington, D.C., where there was senators and congressmen and representatives and ambassadors from all over the world. I never saw so much drinking in my life. There was a bar, and you know who paid for that? We do. Oh, sure we do. There was pinching and patting and hugging and loving, and women that weren't even their wives were with them. They were their secretaries and pages and all that stuff. I got my belly full. I said, my stars, I didn't know this was going on in Washington, D.C. And I will tell you this, there's more alcoholism per capita in Washington, D.C. than any place in the whole world. Now, the other princes and presidents despise Daniel. Serving God has always been costly. Prophets were often ignored and jailed or even stoned. Remember John the Baptist? He told this guy, you're not doing the right thing by living with your brother's wife. And so he said, well, he didn't like it. So he decided he'd throw a big drunken party. And everybody was drinking and dancing. And this king says, Herod says to this his wife, anything you want, I'll give it to you. She said, I'll tell you what I want. I want you to cut that preacher's head off. That's what I want. And boy, you know, I'm sure Herod was sorry he did that, but he couldn't take it back. And so when that dancing girl got up there and shaking and shimmying, and, well, sure enough, it cost John Baptist his head. Paul was jailed and martyred. All of the apostles were martyred except John, who was exiled. Jesus warned his disciples of rejection by the world. Read the 15th chapter of John. Christians have suffered for their faith for centuries. Let me ask you this. Will your faith hold up under persecution? Now, the president and the princes and their plot. Daniel's enemies searched for a flaw in him. Maybe you're going to a church and your pastor's not perfect. Well, if you find a perfect pastor, we'll all be in heaven. There's no such thing as a perfect pastor. But I want you to know, beloved, if you have a pastor and he is preaching the truth, you pray for him day and night. You keep him before the Lord, because don't you think he's not facing trials and tribulations and temptations second to nobody? Jesus, even the Son of God, was tempted like you and I. But he sinned not. How did he fight him back? He quoted the Word of God. Well, they couldn't find no fault in him. Ah, what a credit to this faithful man. Reminds us of Pilate's conclusion about Jesus. I find no fault in him. The only opening for Daniel's enemies was this. He was a man of faith, but he is also a man of prayer. They would find a way to prosecute him for praying. Ah, the infamous decree that sent Daniel to the lion's den. Listen, now nobody was to pray to anybody for 30 days. Well, they knew Daniel would keep petitioning God. Their wicked plot would sentence him to death. But faith always finds help in prayer. Daniel's response to the king's decree, he kept on praying. Did he pray in secret? No, he didn't pray in secret. He even pulled the curtains got down in front of the window and three times his face toward Jerusalem, and he prayed. And don't think those people didn't see it. Hey, Daniel's not afraid of being thrown in the lion's den. Why? Because he knew God would be with him. Little David, when he took on Goliath, he wasn't afraid. Why? Because he knew that God would be with him. God had already tested little David by killing a lion and a bear by hand. So he wasn't depending on his super ability to run one of those slings. He knew that God would be with him. Do you know that tonight, dear friends? Do you know that God will be with you? You've got something that you're supposed to do. No, I don't know what it is. Now, some preachers will tell you they knew what it is, but I don't. But I'll tell you one thing. If God is calling you for some particular thing in life, go ahead and do it. Just go ahead and do it. Don't look back. Don't seek counsel. Only with the Lord. When God called me to preach, I started seeking counsel, hoping that someone would say, Cecil, you got to be kidding. God wouldn't call someone like you to preach. But you know what? I didn't get any relief. I did not get one bit of relief. God called me. Are you going to do it, Cecil, or aren't you? And I finally, one night I said in church, I said, yes, Lord, I will, with your help. And that's really what he wants us to depend on him, not ourselves. You know, Paul said, I didn't come here with a great excellency of speech. I come with fear and trembling. Hey, this great, intelligent man, he came with fear and trembling. Well, sure enough, they caught Daniel praying. And so they said, well, King, we got to throw him in a slammer. You signed this document, so we can't, it's not irreversible, you can't take it back. So they kind of grabbed old Daniel, and oh, these guys were so happy, we've got him now, boy, we're going to fix his old clock. So they threw him down in the lion's den. Old Daniel walked in and he looked around to see which one had the biggest mane, and then he went over and he laid his head on that mane and slept like a baby. He was in the arms of the Lord. Friends, whenever there's a storm of life that you're going through, remember, God's going through you with you. He's not leaving you out there to hang dry. He's with you. Remember Meshach, Shadrach, Abednego. When they threw them in that fiery furnace, they only threw three in there. But guess who they saw? They saw four. Why? Because Jesus was in there walking with them. Never singed a hair on their head. God protected Daniel from the hungry lions. Oh, listen. The king spent the night fasting, so did the lions. If they weren't fasting, they'd sure ate that old Daniel up. But hey, again, this was in the middle of God's program. It's just like when Jonah was thrown in a fish, swallowed him up. It was in God's program. Now, you know, friends, when God chastens us, and he does, you will, if you're a born-again believer, you will be chastened. And he only chastens those that he loveth. If you don't get chastened, you're an illegitimate child. Oh, friends, don't fight chastening. It isn't because God doesn't love you. It is because God loves you. I'm going through some real trials right now, my health and other things. But he's with me. I just keep walking, keep telling people about Jesus, and that's a joy that I get every time I speak on this broadcast. Every time I go to prison, there's a joy because I know I'm not a great preacher. Oh, I've already known that. But I do know Jesus. I do know what he did for me. He reached down in a gutter and lifted me up out of the miry clay, set my feet on a solid rock, and praise God, I'm one of his children, and I'm one of his preachers. Well, Daniel's angelic guest is in the lion's den. The mouth of the lions were shut. Oh, but the king calls for his people to turn to God. Daniel's witness bore fruit. Does your witness bear fruit? Does people know that you're a Christian or he's a Presbyterian or he's a Baptist or he's a Pentecostal, he's a Catholic? No. Are we bearing fruit for Jesus? Do they see that we have a walk with Christ? Remember when they said that Peter and John were ignorant and unlearned men? They sure did. But did you know what? They said there's something different about them. They'd been with Jesus. Faith proving that true under fire impacts others for Christ. Let me ask you, friend, is our fruit bearing witness? Now, I'm going to ask you some questions that might upset you, but please don't be mad at me. Please don't be mad. I'm doing it because I love you. Have you introduced a soul to Christ this year? You said, no, Cecil. Have you witnessed to a soul this year? No. Well, I want to say shame on you. Shame on you because you're not doing what Jesus told you to do. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature. That's what he said. That's exactly what he told us to do. And he said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. And that's one of his commandments, is to tell others about Jesus. Friends, you don't have to preach a sermon to be a witness for Christ. Your life has to be in tow with the Lord. You have to be in touch with the Lord. And do you have to be a college graduate? Do you have to have a DD degree to be able to be a witness? Absolutely not. In fact, that might even get in your way. It being a DD may get in the way. I don't think so. Hey, I was in Longview, Washington one time at a father-son banquet. And this doctor from, I don't know, down south, he had more degrees than a pedigree dog. Man, he had degrees. And he was a good speaker. And he got up that night to speak, and he was telling about, you know, people call me Dr. So-and-so. And he said, oh, lads, yeah, that's nice. But he said, I'm going to tell you how God humbled me one time with all my degrees. He said, I was raised in North Carolina in a log cabin. My mother didn't have but a third-grade education. She could read and she could write, and that's about it. But she was a woman of great prayer. And I remember coming home after receiving my doctor's degree. I came home, and I was to speak in our home church that particular next Sunday. And he said, I come across this verse of Scripture, and I pondered it, and I pondered, and I studied it. And all of a sudden, he said, Mama, what does this mean? He said, that dear little old sweet mama of mine told me what it meant. Here was a man with all the degrees you can get, but a little woman with a third grade education had to explain this Scripture. All friends, we're never so big, we're never so important, we're never so smart that God can't teach us something. Oh, I've had to be humbled several times, and it wasn't easy. It hurt. But God said, Cecil, you're wrong. You're I tell you, I was wrong. And my wife told me I was wrong, but I wasn't humble enough to listen to him. Well, I tell you, God got done working with me. He taught me a lesson. Friends, tonight, if you're a born-again believer and you have not led a soul to Christ or you're not witnessing, would you bow your head to me right now and let me lead you in a simple prayer? Precious Lord, for that woman, that man, that boy, that girl on the broadcast tonight who have never witnessed, who have never led a soul to Christ, would you speak to their hearts tonight, Lord? Help them to pray that they'd have holy boldness and that you'd fill them with your Spirit and give them precious souls for their hire. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Now, friend, you say, well, Lord, you know, I'm not even a Christian. I don't even know the Lord. Well, that's why you're listening tonight. Not because I'm a special preacher, but I will give you an invitation. You might have a tugging at your heart tonight, a real tugging, and you feel, oh, I got to get something right. Maybe your life has been a big old failure. Maybe you feel like a zilch, like you're a nobody. Well, here's what you need to do. You need to tell the Lord that you're a sinner and vibes we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Then you need to open your heart and pray the most powerful prayer a man can pray today. And here's how it goes. Dear Heavenly Father, I confess that I am a sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm opening my heart and I'm receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, here's what I want you to do. I want you to get on the phone and call 303-471-8534. I'll not use your name on the air. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not sit down right and ask you for any money. Not at all. I don't care where you go to church. I'm only concerned where you spend eternity. If you feel I can help you spiritually, do call 303-471-8534. I'm waiting for your call.
praise your name, Lord, and sing your song. I'll praise your name, Lord, my whole life long. I'll praise your name, Lord, until I'm home. I'll praise your name, Lord, and sing your song. Your notes are much sweeter than mine, and your words have reason and rhyme, and your song will stand through all time. I'll praise your name, Lord, and sing your song. Praise your name, Lord, and sing your song. I'll praise your name, Lord, my whole life long. I'll praise your name, Lord, until I'm home. I'll praise your name, Lord, and sing your song. Help me trust you the best that I can. Give peace, Lord, wherever I am. I'll praise your name, Lord, and sing your song. I'll praise your name, Lord, and sing your song. I'll praise your name, Lord, my whole life long. I'll praise your name, Lord, until I'm home. I'll praise your name, Lord, and sing your song. I'll praise your name, Lord, and sing your song.
Friends, for the past half hour, your host has been Evangelist Cecil Moe. Thank you, dear ones, for listening. Oh, listen, friends, I just hope and pray that we might have said something that would encourage your heart. Let me tell you, God loves you. He died for you. They crucified him. They put him in a tomb, and the third day he rose. Listen, there's something else in the future. He's coming back. He's going to rapture his church. What is his church? Those who've been born again, whose names have been written in the Lamb Book of Life. Well, listen, I want you to be good to your neighbor. Stay sweet. Keep looking up. For this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.